today on Real Radio.
This is your church. It's your fellowship. How you act, how you deal with things, how you relate to the Lord and to each other, it's you. It is you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Church Made Ready, continues in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 with verses 6 through 15. The Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Thessalonian church to not only tell them about Christ's return, but to be ready for his coming. Paul continues his farewell message to the Thessalonians by reminding them to be specific in their prayers. They were to walk as Paul walked, following his word and deed. They had a faith that was tested, and yet they continued to grow. Difficult times will often expose what we are really made of, but the church managed to overcome through commitment and prayer. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how Paul had a vision to reach out to others. If there is a need, we need to respond as servants. Also, as Christians, we should be the best at what we do and a good steward of what we have. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We come to a study this morning that deals with discipline within the church. Now, listen, right now, set it in your mind that the church is God's family on earth. We are to be a family. And what happens in a family? There's love, there's grace, there's joy, there's excitement. There is the need for discipline, right? And we are being raised in a culture that has been fed this baloney that discipline's wrong. No, true love actually disciplines. Because your mother or father loved you, they told you not to play in the street. Because they loved you, they didn't allow you to do certain things. Because the scripture tells us that a child left to himself becomes a reproach to his mother and father. And God will not allow us to be left alone. He will instruct us and he will school us in the way that we should go. And God will exercise in our lives discipline. It's not, listen, abuse. We are commanded in the Bible to spank our children. Fact of the matter is, the Bible says that when you spank a child, it drives evil from them. It's not abuse, it's true love. And we're not talking about abuse either. That's rampant in our culture because parents have not been taught how to discipline children. It needs to be done in love. It's never to be done without any other intention but to love and to guide and to correct and to steer that child. But God wants us to be a church made ready, and sometimes that's going to take discipline. It's going to help us to be ready. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 44, he says, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man will come in an hour that you don't expect him." And that causes us to be a disciplined people. We need to be walking in order and in line. Matthew 24, 42, "Watch therefore." It means be vigilant, be scanning the horizon, for you do not know when the hour is coming, and that is when he'll come back. So it's very important that we understand this morning that we need to be a church that is made ready. And people, in the study today, we're going to be talking about some things that are uncomfortable. But we need to realize this, that this church in Thessalonica was dealing with doctrinal difficulties that led to disorderly conduct. That's always true. Did you hear what I said? Doctrinal difficulties, or doctrinal errors, I should say, will always lead to unruly conduct, disorderly conduct. We don't need to expound on the cults and the occult. To give you an example on that, it's well known. But our Bible teaches us, specifically in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." That only does not apply to the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It applies to the function of the church. This church service is to be decently and in order. That's why we remove the chandeliers from this place in here. There's not much padding on the carpet. Makes it difficult to roll around. Things are to be done decently and in order as we assemble together in the Word of God. And so we need to remember that. So as we go through our study this morning, I want you to jot down the first point, and I should probably give them to you up front in case I fail to give them to you in the middle of the study. The first point is found in verse 6, and that is we are to be staying committed to the Word. We need to stay committed to the Word in these last days, people. if we're going to be a church that is ready and if we're going to be living with proper conduct. The second point is in verses 7 to 10, and that is a call to be a wise steward or exercise wise stewardship as believers. We'll talk about this. In fact, we'll spend the bulk of our study on the second point. The third point this morning will be that we are to encourage the church on in verses 11 to 15 in its commitment to Christ and its function as a church. And then finally, we'll end this morning in verses 16 to 18 with the how-to of getting the job done as a church. But right now, look with me in verse 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us." Let's keep going. "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil, night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. And the Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Staying committed to the word. In verse 6, he says, "But we command you." Interesting phraseology here. Paul uses the very words that he used and that the disciples used in the casting out of a demon. It's what Jesus said, "I command you." It's what Peter said, or James or John or Paul, when they were dealing with a demonic person. They would say, "I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of that individual," or "be gone." Paul uses a very strong word, and this is equivalent today, as it was back in that time, of the Old Testament parody that would say, "Thus saith the Lord." Strong words. Paul is saying, "I command you." So this is no option. Those of you who are born-again Christians this morning, according to John 3, you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Paul the Apostle this morning says he commands you. Now, I take great pleasure in saying that because that lets me off the hook. I'm just the messenger. But often the messenger gets shot for delivering the message. And I want to be faithful this morning. We're going to talk about some sensitive things. No, nobody has called me this week. Nobody told me to say this. So you just listen up and see if the Lord would speak to you. He says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw." You cut yourself off from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you've received from us. We are to be, first of all, if we're going to receive anything of this message, we are to be recipients of what he's saying. And you and I live in a world that wants to automatically oppose authority. We are living in the most rebellious age in America, the most rebellious time. If somebody's of a position of authority, we want to fold our hands and just shut them down. We have some arrogance about us. But on the flip side, there's a lot of people who are shunning and refusing authority because they've been wronged by authority. And my heart goes out to you. I can tell you by the grace of God, I have never been in a church setting wronged by authority. I have been only blessed by the authority and by the authoritative figure that I have known in my Christian experience. And I'm speaking about our experience at Calvary Costa Mesa under Chuck Smith, a wonderful example. Being able to work behind the scenes there and see what goes on. My heart only grew more for the ministry and my respect for him even more. But that's not the case for all of you. But you need to understand this morning that God is the one who establishes authority. It's not the man. God establishes a position. I want to challenge you this morning about following God's leaders. And I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm asking you to look unto men who are noted. Read their writings. Listen to their messages. And follow them as they follow Christ. But a true leader of Jesus Christ is going to point you to the Word of God. It's very important. In 2 Timothy 4:3, Paul says that the time will come when men will not endure, that is, hang on to, hold tightly to sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers to actually scratch those itching ears. And we see so many people departing from godly leadership and godly churches that teach the Word into these crazy things and these cults and these things that are coming on the scene and false doctrine. We need to stay committed to the Word. And Paul is saying in verse 6, we command you in the name of the Lord that you withdraw from every believer. Notice it's a believer. It's a brother, a Christian brother. If a Christian brother is walking disorderly and not according to the tradition. Now that's not tradition like tradition. Don't you love that video? If you can just ever find the time to watch Fiddler on the Roof, it's like forever long. But boy, is it great. Tradition. You know, and well, we're not talking about those kinds of truth. We're talking about the teaching of the Old Testament Word of God. We mentioned it last week. Paul is saying, if he's not walking after the Lord, and it's a continuation process. It's not that he's falling, getting back up, and then falling. It's that this guy's fallen, and he's staying down there. Why is this happening? The church of Thessalonica, they had been swallowing the false doctrine that they had missed the rapture, and that they were, in fact, in the Great Tribulation period. They believed that the second coming would soon be arriving. So some people said, well, then why work at all? Let's just put on some robes, go sit on top of the hill, and wait for the Lord to return. And do nothing. While the bulk of the church did all the work, but had to contend with these people who were following false doctrine, and this is what we understand, is that they were saying, hey, feed me, clothe me, take care of me, because I'm going to wait for Jesus to come back. And they became a burden to the church, as you can imagine. Paul says, don't even walk with them any longer. Withdraw yourself from them. But we need to listen to godly leadership when we're commanded to do things that are not comfortable. So many of our counseling here that takes place at this church is often so easily found in the Scripture. Sometimes it's between people, and we'll get into this a little bit later. What does the Word of God say? How do you handle it according to the Bible? Are you willing this morning for this Word to be your guide? But this word to walk disorderly means to walk out of step. It's a military term. It's to be out of step or out of rank. Somebody who is not in the sense of the Lord and in the sense of the church, a team player. Independent. Wanting to do his own thing. And that's not good. But listen. Paul had warned them before. About a year earlier, he wrote 1 Thessalonians 4. And in verse 11, he says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. You see, people were getting lazy. Now, I'm not talking this morning about people who cannot find a job. Do you understand that? There's people in this church that can't find a job. They're looking, they can't find a job. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about people who are just plumb lazy in the church, and they, to be putting it quite frankly, they just kind of leech and suck from the resources of the church. There are people like that. We try hard to find out who they might be. And I can tell you that, as far as I know, the people that this church helps out, it is in accordance with the Word. And many of them, of course, are mothers who have been put out or abandoned by a husband or a father. Paul says to be careful about these people. He warns us. And another thing I want you to see is the second point, that there's a call to wise stewardship in verses 7 to 10. He says this, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, first of all, understand this. Paul has laid down an example. When he was with them, he lay down an example as how the believer should be like. Listen, when you go, I get a kick out of this. I don't know if my motive's right, so you have to pray for me. But when I go someplace to speak, nobody knows my face, so it's really fun. I'll walk in there and I hate to say this, but I'll walk in there and I kind of like check out the body. You know what I mean? See if it has a pulse. I'll walk in and I'll put a smile on my face, even though I don't feel like smiling. I'll put a smile on my face and hi. And I'm seeing if people will say hi back. I'll sit somewhere and I want, hi, how are you? Nice to, and it's fun. I kind of feel like, Mission Impossible. And you can hear the music playing in my mind. I'm on a mission and it's, and I'm not judging the body. It's just I don't want to get the feel. And you can tell a lot by sitting around in a fellowship. And because so often the church takes on the personality of the pastor or the leadership. And so I'm, you know, just kind of feeling things out. And it's always fun. I'll, I guess I'm kind of lying. I'll say, excuse me, you know, hi, my, what, how's it going? Who's speaking today? I don't know. We got some guest speaker, you know. I heard he's a jerk. Or, oh, okay. And I'll just, okay, well, you know, we'll just have to. And then when the guy calls me up, when the pastor or the assistant calls me up, it's kind of fun because that person's like, uh-oh, what did I say, you know? But I like that. But the fun thing is I was at one service one time and they wound up having this water leak. And I wound up helping out with the water leak. And it was fun because the body had this response that pastors don't do that thing. And one fellowship we were at, the vacuum broke down and they didn't know who I was. And I wound up fixing the vacuum. And it was a lot of fun to go on up there. And I had this black rubber melted vacuum belt grease on my hands. It was just fun to see what the reaction would be. Paul would go places and he would just minister and serve and be a Christian. And that's the way it ought to be. And you, listen, this is not my church. If you are visiting or if you've been here at all for any period of time, you need to know this is not my church. It makes me sick to even say such a thing. This is your church. It's your fellowship. How you act, how you deal with things, how you relate to the Lord and to each other, it's you. It is you. I don't even like to call myself a shepherd. There's one shepherd. It's Jesus Christ. Yes, the Bible says shepherd the flock of God wherewith you've been made an overseer. I understand that. But I understand that the process and the activity of that calling upon my life is more like a sheepdog. He's the shepherd. I'm the dog. I'm the one to run around. Hey, watch it, will you? Gee whiz. I'm the one that's to keep the sheep well taken care of and make sure there's no wolves coming in. But there's times, doggone, that was no pun intended. I didn't mean that. I'm not kidding. There's a time when you've got to sometimes bite the heels of the sheep to get them to get in rank or in step. And it's not pleasant. And if anybody likes it as a minister, you're a sick person. Truly. If you think it's fun to like, oh, let's get those guys. Listen, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Every time I've got to deal with somebody or meet with somebody on something that is not good or a faction or something wrong, my stomach is irritated because number one thing is, will that person receive what God would have for them? Sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. It is a hard thing if you're going to care. And again, if some people like to do it, they got something wrong. But we've lost the sense of community so often. We live in a time where you press the garage door opener, the car, it opens up, it eats your car, you go from your garage into your house, nobody sees you anymore. We've got guarded, gated communities. We've got houses with alarms. Boy, I tell you, you know, I told you this before, it makes me sick. You know, you can, once we're inside of our home, we can set the alarm system and our home is totally protected. It's got this invisible guard around the house. We can run around on the inside, play games, watch movies, whatever we're doing. But if somebody jars a window or a door, I mean, it raises the dead. And there's nothing worse than at 3 o'clock in the morning when Scruffy has to go to the bathroom. And I go out to the sliding glass door and I just budge that thing and what? You know, and it's like, oh man. And we live in a gated lifestyle community that will not work here in this church. Some of us carry that kind of mentality right in. You sit, I'm not knocking this because I did the same thing, but you sit in the same spot every week. And some of you say, well, how do you know? Can you tell? You know, you called me. And I haven't been there for a month. How did you know I was missing? Come on. You sit in the same spot every week. And I can see everything from here. I see all the wives going, elbows into the ribs. I can see it. But we need to loosen up. I think we ought to start practicing fellowship and accountability because we will be living in heaven with each other for the rest of our lives. And it's going to be a long life, everlasting life. We need to be a people who are committed to stewardship to realize this is our church. As a pastor, I may be here for the duration of the church. I may not. I'm on call 24 hours a day. But this is our church. And there needs to be a sense of community. And I thank God for the sense of community in this body. When something happens, we have so many people show up to help or to do or to pray or to serve. But one thing I want you to realize in this is Paul says in verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Well, we'll touch on this more in a moment. But this to me calls to mind a sense of investing. If this is our fellowship, we need to be investing in our church. You had that little insert in your bulletin this morning. Did you notice in there we're not asking for money? Did you notice in there we're not asking for you to, you know, paint the church or mortgage your house? No. No, we're asking you to simply write a note, a paragraph, a sentence, a letter. That's all we need. A sense of community, a sense of stewardship, a sense of commitment. We are so committed to so many things. And yet this is our home. This is our home away from home until we go home to heaven. But we need to be investing in it. In Philippians 4:9, the Bible says, the things which you have learned, Paul said, and received and heard and saw. Isn't that amazing? The things that you've learned, things that you've received, heard, and saw in me, these do. He says, get invested in the fellowship that you're in, and the peace of God will be with you. Very important. And by the way, we are to be serving Him because He's worthy of all service. And God will use you more and more. I get notes from people saying, I want to be used by God. That's good. Praise the Lord. We're glad to hear it. What are you doing now? Well, I don't know. I want to step out and get going. Good. Step out and go. Step out and get used by the Lord. And watch what happens. In Psalm 75:6, the Bible says, promotion does not come from the east or from the west or from the south, and from the north for that matter, but from the Lord. Let's be faithful by investing in our fellowship, our time, our efforts, our prayers. It's so important. God will use us. Let's step out. To be involved in the fellowships, to be investing in a fellowship. So, so very important.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Church Made Ready. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that the Lord gives you His peace in every situation you face in life. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? Think about it. Might be a great addition for all that you do with your smartphone or tablet every day of the week. Just go to your app store and get the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet, and that's pretty much going to give you all the access you need to everything that is Real Radio. You'll get all sorts of video and audio, some great downloads. Go to your app store right now and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet, and stay in touch with us. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.